So I have the absolute honour of introducing our first guest speaker to celebrate.
Oh, sorry, did I mess you up?
Yeah, we're going to fight.
I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I was trying to be like a cute understudy.
No, you... Trevor, how he said cute understudy. Bearing in mind, it's all vocals. But he had to specify how he looks.
I need to describe it to them. But sorry, my bad. I apologize.
I have the absolute pleasure of introducing our first guest speaker to celebrate 100 years of Bellingham. Trevor, thank you so much for being here. I was going to have a long preamble about all the reasons why it's so beneficial for us to have this conversation right now, but I think it's fair to say we probably should start with you introducing yourself. So if it's not too much trouble, would you mind just letting us know a few basic facts about you and how you're affiliated with Bellingham?
My name's Trevor Pybus, and I have the privilege of actually being born in Bellingham. I was born in a road called Thurbarn Road, which is in South Bellingham, and hopefully I'll get to describe to you the difference, reasons why South Bellingham is very different from the rest of Bellingham. I went to St. Augustine's School, St. Augustine's Primary School, until I was 10 years old. And then I went to live in Downham. So I've gone from going across the border from Bellingham all the way across to Downham.
Quite the expedition.
It's like a huge transition. And it is just the most strangest thing now, looking back, about that change, because, again, we'll talk about me and my family later on. I come from my dad's is Anglo-Indian. My mum was white. So he was one of the first mixed race children in Lewisham. Predominantly, everyone I met and everyone I grew up with was tended to be white. So we tended to be the only people who were not white.
Just for context, can you give us like the dates around? So
I'm born in 1956. Okay. So 66 is when I leave Bellingham.
To venture all the way across the road.
Wow. But it's interesting because we lived in a one, but so there were seven of us. So we lived in a two-bedroom flat in Bellingham. So, and there were seven of us, and it's quite interesting. And at the time, you used to get coal delivered into the back, and I can still remember the clouds of coal coming up from the coalman, dropping off coal. Growing up on it in the flat, we had no running hot water. We never had any hot water. So you would have a bath on a Sunday, and it would actually, you just boil up water on the gas stove. And it's really, I don't consider myself that old, but it's just a change. It's just a complete different world. There used to be, it's really interesting, the at the bottom of Sedgill Road, there's a parade of shops, and there is still a fish and chip shop. And that fish and chip shop was always part of my life growing up. And that same fish and chip shop has changed hands, but it's always remained a fish and chip shop.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's like a tradition.
Yeah. And you just look at stuff like that, and you think, so well, why didn't that change? Why did that stay as a fish and chip shop? But it did. So we growing up on Bellingham, we stayed in the south of Bellingham. We stayed around where we lived, and we tended not to venture across South End Lane. South End Lane used to have, for us, was a big no-no. So we would stay on at the other side of South End Lane.
What was it due to you?
So what do you know about the development of the housing estates by the LCC?
Maybe you can teach us.
Yeah, you're right. Teach us.
So the original Bellingham that was built was not built with South Bellingham. Yeah, so it actually come from the money to actually build Bellingham itself, Bellingham Estate, came from the boroughs of Lambeth, Bermondsey, Deptford, and it didn't include Lewisham. So the original residents who came to Bellingham all come from them boroughs.
Wow.
So it was specifically to house people from them boroughs.
Right.
Yeah. So when South Bellingham was built, which was built much later than the rest of the estate, the LCC found a completely new pot of money. So anyone could go into South Bellingham. So South Bellingham, by its very nature, had lots of flats, lots of three-storey flats. So them flats were allowed, people were allowed to go from anywhere into them flats. That's where my family ended up in South Bellingham. So across the road in the rest of Bellingham tended to be families that knew each other from the East End and Bermondsey and that. So you tended to stay on that side of the road.
Yeah.
And it's really strange because I've always looked south and never north, which is it's really, really ridiculous. But I know that I've always looked south.
Right.
So our flat. So we lived, like, I was born in 60 Thurbarn Road. I still take people there to show them about that flat and how it works and how it didn't work. And it's really interesting because one of the biggest impacts on all of us, and we don't see it and we just don't realise it, is the motor car.
Mm.
The motor car stops kids playing. Because the street that I was brought up in, which is Thurbarn, you could play football in it, you could play cricket, you could play games, because there was no cars.
Right.
You just, the people talk about that kids are stuck indoors and not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's not, but we as a society have disabled kids from actually doing that stuff.
Absolutely.
Because we don't allow them to, because I drive my car. We protect our cars.
Yeah, for sure.
Our cars, so we stop kids playing. So it's when I look about playing games, when I'm playing games in that space, we're playing in the front. We're not playing at the back, even though we did used to play at the back as well. But we'd play out the front. We'd play cricket out the front, and everyone would just come out and play. Which is kind of interesting. It's a very different world that so the young people have to be. They can't just go and play somewhere because of the way adults don't allow them to do stuff. Yeah. But it's a personal gripe of mine. But
it's still very relevant.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting you say that. So obviously that's kind of something that's changed. But is there anything in particular you've kind of seen in the area that's, you know, kind of changed drastically? And has it maybe improved the area, or has it kind of made things worse? Or what's
so anything? I know you briefly mentioned the introduction of like motor cars.
Yeah.
And then how that's changed the structure of like just accessibility, playing and childhood memories, and just that idea and the relationship between growing up and having that kind of childhood authenticity in terms of Bellingham. But what about other things that have developed or changed in your experience of being in Bellingham?
So one of the biggest the biggest changes in Bellingham is the diversity of the population, because again, like I'm saying, we was one of the few non-white families within the area, and that diversity is really, really, really being a change. When I was at St. Augustine's and I got to do a part in the Christmas play, so, and it's really interesting because now I look back in it and I think, wow, did they really do that? So there was me, a black girl, and a guy from Malta. We was the three wise men because we was the only people.
That is crazy.
you just won't even think about it.
That is mad.
But it's that things about that you think like. Now you think and analyse and you go, wow, that's not how you would do it now and not how you think about it. But in my school at that time, we was the only people who was not a little bit white. So we was the free ones.
My goodness. Did you start noticing diversity changing within the like the more diverse community within Bellingham?
So I got the privilege of being doing some stuff for a project called Neighbour Management, which was, I was the Neighbour Management worker for Bellingham, and that was a key part of our thingy, because it's, you don't realise it's happened until you actually start to look at it, and then you notice it. So that was the best part of 20 years ago. So, but the changes in Bellingham are much more gradual than that. But during the 50s, 80s, Bellingham had a reputation for being involved with the far right. So this pub was the fellowship was a place that Combat 18 used to meet in. So there was always that connotation around the difference. And the way the south of Lewisham changed compared to the north of Lewisham. North of Lewisham had a much more diverse population compared with the south of South Lewisham, and you don't notice them changes because you just accept them for what they are.
Yeah.
And you don't realise what was happening. So it's kind of interesting, but it would be good to take you for a walk around South Bellingham. So there was and again, it's not the story I'm going to tell. It's not. It fills me with real sadness now, and looking back at it. But at the time, I just wouldn't have got it. There was a guy who was a Polish prisoner of war from the Second World War, and the Germans cut his tongue out because he was fighting against the Germans. And we used to play football against his wall. Now, his life must have been absolute hell with us playing football.
And he can't even...
And I can remember really, really, like, getting annoyed with him for getting annoyed with us, for him playing football. And you think to yourself, like, how rude I was as a young person.
Yeah.
Around that time. And if it was one thing I would do is go back and really apologise. If there was one thing I could go back to him, Billy, and apologise to him for my stupidity about not understanding that when we was kicking the wall against his wall, it was going into his front room all the bloody time. And we would play for hours and hours and hours. That was quite interesting.
It sounds like there's so many different dynamics in terms of just like the different groups, the different communities, the different cultures that were all growing up in Lewisham, Bellingham in particular. We briefly spoke before this recording about just kind of the pubs in the area and the affiliation with that. I know you briefly talked about the fellowship. Tell me about the culture of the pubs in Bellingham.
So, again, it's really hard because I'm very, very clear about in my head about what a definition of places are. But it's about saying that the Bellingham, the pubs that both Bellingham and Downham share are very common, which was the Tiger's Head, the Saxon Tavern. So have you heard about the Saxon Tavern?
I've heard the Tiger's Head, but not the Saxon's.
The Saxon's up the top of Southend Lane where Lidl's is.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Saxon Tavern.
Okay.
King Alfred.
King Alfred.
So you've got all these huge pubs. But the reason why you got these, and the Green Man, so you've got this collection of pubs that are in this area. The Green Man, when I'm growing up, is a greaser's pub.
What's a greaser?
Yeah. Okay, so people, kids that like motorbikes.
Yeah.
Also, like, proper, like, the movie Grease, like...
Yeah, as in...
I feel so bad. Just shows how young.
So they would wear levers and the things like... And so if you've seen Quadrophenia... Mm.
Yeah.
So the mods fight the Greasers. So it's that same concept. Concept here that you've got the Green Man, which is Greasers and so on. So, but the Green Man is the first pub that I used to go regular with my dad. So my dad would take me to the Green Man when I'm 14 years old, and I used to drink pints of beer with him. The Tiger's Head was notorious for, there's a film around Millwall and they film lots of it in the Tiger's Head.
Is this like a UK movie?
No, it's not a movie, it's a TV programme. What's the name of the programme? That's got lots of cuts in this about Millwall and football hooliganism, and that's specifically Panorama. That's it. Okay. It's a Panorama program. Oh. So there's the Panorama program about, and that's all filmed in. Lots of it's filmed in Tiger's Head.
Okay.
And there's lots of people I knew that was involved in that. So that was always quite interesting. The Saxon Tavern of King Alfred, that was always a big dance place. So you can go and see lots of big bands playing.
What kind of bands? What kind of music?
So it's really, this is heavy metal come, mainly heavy metal stuff. Mainly heavy metal stuff. But so my musical tastes tend to be ska, because there's lots of skinhead stuff in my whole life. So my brother Steve, he's got, there's a shop called in Brighton called Dirty Harry's,
right.
And if you get down to Brighton, see Dirty Harry's, my brother set that up, and it started off as a skinhead shop, very much.
Wow. Okay.
So, because again, it's that thing about
the experience of Brighton.
That's different.
Amazing. So,
but again, so but my so if not ska, which is my, it then drifts into punk and that whole stuff around listen to punk music and still my son's 42 and we still do music together, so
that's amazing.
You just do stuff. But getting back to Bellingham and why South End Lane then becomes, so you get very very close knit families from the East End in the north of Bellingham, and you get much more diverse families in South Bellingham. And it, believe it or not, I still get the impression that those in South Bellingham tend to be isolated from the rest of Bellingham. So in my opinion, it still continues to that isolation still being there. And it's that thing about, we don't understand it's there, so we don't do anything about it. But right. It very much is, because in South Bellingham, it is they're flats. The majority of them are flats, not houses, because that's what. Right, and again, this, I'm going to sound really, really stupid. Like, so, in the back of the flats, like the flats are built on four sides. So in the inner side, when I'm a kid, they all used to be full of allotments.
Mm.
But you used to go and raid the allotments to relocate the food. So the people would spend all their time.
That's a nice term. To relocate the food.
That was smooth.
That was very impressive. To relocate the food?
Yeah.
Please continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So I can still remember them spaces being developed as allotments. Now they're just like, they just kids play on them, which is quite right, and they're allowed to do bits and pieces. But that day was allotments when I'm a kid, and that was for the stuff that I do now a great miss, because it would be good if them spaces like that could be used again as allotments, but it would take lots of energy. And then the whole thing about being there, with just playing just the silly games that we play. So Sedgill School, so the back of up where Sedgill School is, up there, there used to be loads of prefabs in. We've only got the prefabs left in Downham, but in when I'm growing up, there used to be prefabs in Bellingham as well, and they used to go straight down all the way down to where Liddell's is now. And the fact is that we tended all to be quite the same. That we was all quite poor working class families. So there was that real commonality between in life. But it's really interesting because again, it's that and I'll say this different from other people. Is that other people say, oh, we was allowed to leave the door open because everything was safe. No, you could leave your door open because you had nothing to steal. It's really hard because the reason you could do that is because no one had nothing to nick. There was nothing to nick. You was allowed to keep your door open. And like my mum, if I went out as a 7-year-old and I didn't come back till 9 o'clock at night, my mum were worried about me. I was just away.
Yeah.
I was just away. And like the fact is that I was away, she never worried about me. She was not worried about the circumstances that I was in, which is now like as a grandparent.
I've heard of it, isn't it?
Where are you?
Like, that's just crazy. So
I'm in the driveway. That's where I am. So, stop ringing me.
So do you feel like it's been specific changes to the areas? Obviously, you mentioned the cars and stuff like that, but with things like what you just said now, is there been anything that's kind of changed in the area that's led to, you know, the lack of, I guess you could say, security, or the lack of, like, you know, kids being able to play to a certain, because that sounds crazy to me in this day and age.
Like, how did that deteriorate, Trevor?
How did it change to now everyone needs to know where their kids are and location services are on 24/7?